I'm feeling a little bit prophetic. F minus. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, and trust you do, because I'm not a palm reader, turn with us to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 8, please. Once you find your place there in Mark chapter number 8, if you'd please stand in the honor of reading Father's Word. We will begin reading in verse number 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught or any. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees, walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Lord, being our helper tonight, we'd like to bring the sermon on this thought, the next touch. The next touch.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for the message you had Brother Brett bring to us. We really enjoyed that, Lord.
Yes.
And we pray, Father, that everyone will be able to get as much out of these sermons tonight as possible.
Yes, sir. God, we need it.
We do need it. And we thank you, Father, for it. I know it's certainly not me. It's not Brother Brett. It's you, Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And if it's us, then we need to sit down right now. We thank you, Father, for being so gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, for the service we had at the nursing home this morning. We thank you, Father, for being able to go and have 5 wonderful years there. And I pray, Father, that you bless the folks there, the residents and the workers both, Lord, and all the patience they've shown me over the time. And it's been wonderful. And I thank you, Father, for each and every one that came out here tonight, Lord. And it's a blessing to me to get to see them here, Father. And I pray, Lord, you give them an extra special blessing for coming here. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And I thank you, Father, especially for my salvation that you so graciously paid for me. I'd never be able to buy it on my own. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Father, and I pray, Father, that you guide these lips of clay. Help me, Lord, to present the sermon, Lord, the way that you'd have me to pour out the salt just as you'd have me. Thank you, God, for being you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The next touch. The first touch is when Jesus saves us. But here in our text, we see something unusual, Brother Ed. Jesus had to touch this man's eyes a second time. Now, it was not a touch of folly, for Jesus did succeed. It was not a touch of failure, because it took 2 times. No, in this particular case, the lesson required him to show him his greater need, and he can only do it by touching him twice. Nor was it a touch of formality. You see, Jesus broke all the traditions. He broke all the traditional rules by spitting in this man's eyes because, let's face facts, Numbers 12:14 tells us that this was an insult to the person who was spit upon. God told Moses if Miriam's father had spit in her face, she would have to be without the camp 7 days. Here Jesus goes and he spits in this man's eyes to heal him. It was more than one touch for a higher purpose. And in our lives, repetition of touches that follow are also for our higher purpose. They are for our benefit in our Christian lives. And we can never lose our salvation. But all the things that we need to have productive, healthy Christian lives, we can be depleted of. I believe that we see here that, first of all, this was a touch of focus. Verse number 24 says, and he looked up. This tells us that this man had been looking down. He had come to the point in his life, Pastor, where he's blind and just it's just all weighing him down. He can't be up looking around. I picture the blind guy, Ray Stevens, as he's sitting there playing the piano, and he's as happy as can be. This Ray Charles, that's it. This I knew you'd know. But this guy, he wasn't like that. His head was down. He'd lost focus. He couldn't keep his mind looking ahead. And how about us when we get hit with something?
Yeah.
And we had our hands down.
Yes.
Jesus wants to look up.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I say it there at the nursing home almost every time. That week leading up to going to the nursing home the first Saturday of each month, Satan hits me with something and he just wails on me.
Yeah.
This week he loved his club of depression.
Yeah.
Oh, he beat me with that thing. Constantly trying to chew in my ear. Why don't you just go ahead and quit? You're not making a difference. Trying to get me to lose focus on what matters. Bringing up to me, hey, you know, you've been going there 5 years. You ain't seen no one saved yet. And I had to pause and think, you know what? If I'm going there to see someone saved, I've got the wrong focus. God laid it on my heart when He told me He wanted me to go to this nursing home there to remind them that He still loves them, that He is still on the throne, and that He still cares for His children. He'll do the saving part. My job is to go and bring them the Word.
Amen.
And I needed to get focused.
Amen.
And what did the Lord do? The Lord brought me a little bit of clarity yesterday, Brother Eddie. He brought me a little bit of focus. We put sermons on sermon audio. And I went to post one yesterday after I got home from work. And as I went on the homepage there, I noticed something that I had never seen before. Our guest book had a one beside it. Did I miss something here? So I clicked on it, and I figured maybe it was an example of a guest book, and I had never seen it before. It turned out it was this person who English appears to be a second language for them. From Sweden. They wanted to write us here at Sunrise Baptist Church and tell us what a blessing we'd been to them halfway across the globe.
Amen.
And that brought me some focus again. It's about getting the Word of God out there. It's about doing what the psalmist said there. In Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, he says, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. While it looks like he's asking a question, hey, where's my help coming from? It's one of those rhetorical questions that says, I know where my help comes from, because as I'm looking up there to the hills, I see everything that's above, and I'm not looking down no more. This man got a touch of focus, and it caused him to lift his head up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But may I say, when all this despair comes about, when all the depression comes about, Jesus also will give us a touch of faith. Verse 24 goes on to say, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees, walking. Now he's from the town of Bethsaida, the house of fish. They were notorious for their unbelief. This man, he had a little bit now. And Jesus wanted him to nurture it. His faith wasn't strong enough for him to physically see clearly. But his faith had been restored enough to see what he needed to see. That he needed to continue to grow. That he needed to continue to get better. He said here, I see men as trees. But notice, they're walking.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, trees sway. Trees grow. Trees drop their leaves all over my yard. Trees will fall. I've never seen a tree walk. To see trees walking, though, requires faith. When you get in there and you study out trees in the Bible, I'm a tree. What did Solomon go and get to build the temple of the Lord with, people? The cedars of Lebanon. The best trees possible, with the best fragrance possible, from the best soil possible. We get into that right soil of the Word of God. We start growing in the Word. We start gaining strength. We start gaining stamina. We start getting that space around us so that we can become the majestic trees He wants us to be. We'll start putting off a sweet fragrance. We'll see things happen with just a little bit of faith put in action. Of course, you can have a whole lot of faith, but if you don't use it. Faith without works is dead, being alone. But I want you to notice that Jesus didn't ask him there at the end of verse 23, do you see clearly? He said, do you see aught, anything? Because he knows that we are limited. He knows that our faith will ebb and flow, that it will run low. But he knows how high it can grow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus took that little bit of faith, and instead of condemning this man for having only a little bit of faith, and he gave him a touch of fortitude. Look with me here in verse number 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. Pastor, when things didn't go his way, he hung his head back down.
Yes, sir.
When he looked and he saw men as trees walking, he thought to himself, I don't see clearly. He hung his head. This isn't how it's supposed to be. Perhaps he thought to himself, I failed.
Yeah.
I didn't have what it takes.
Good, son.
And that seems like a normal reaction to me. And you know what? I think Jesus thought the same thing. That he thought, you know what? I can understand him feeling that way. It's normal. So he didn't rebuke him.
Right.
Hang your head down, Pastor. But instead, what he did was he came over here and he lifted his head. And I can just imagine as Jesus reached under his chin and he pulled his head up, that this man's mind flashed over there to Psalm number 30 in verse number 3 and says, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head, not the beater down of my soul. He reached down and he picked him up. He gave him some fortitude. That word fortitude, it means the mental and emotional strength in facing difficulty, adversity, danger, or temptation courageously. He will touch us with the strength to face that difficulty with courage. He will touch us with the strength to face that adversity with courage. He will touch us with the strength to face that danger with courage, to face that temptation with courage, if we will let Him. When he reached over to lift his head, he could have swatted his hand away. He says, no.
Yeah.
He could have had the doubt and said, no, forget it. It ain't going to work. I thought you were better than that, Jesus. He could have said that. But instead, he let him lift his head. He gave him that touch of fortitude. May I say, he also gave him a touch of forgiveness. Verse 25 again. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. That word restored means to return to a former condition or state. The word forgiveness means the state of being forgiven. When we're saved, we are forgiven of our sins. And when sin comes back around into our lives, we can go back to Him and ask for forgiveness again. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Sin's going to blind us. Sin will rob us. Sin will defeat us. Sin will break us. It will separate our fellowship with God. However, sin cannot promise us permanent blindness. Sin cannot prevent us from being replenished. Sin cannot stop victory from sweeping over us. Sin cannot keep us from being fixed, nor can it erect an impenetrable wall between us and our Heavenly Father. But in order to be cleansed, contact must be established. I've never once jumped in the shower knowing that there's water behind that wall and the pipes there, soap sitting there on the rack, and jumped back out of the shower and say, I am clean. I'm not clean. The water has not touched me. The soap has not touched me. But when I allow the water to flow upon me, when I use the soap and apply the soap, I get clean. When I let the water of His Word come into my life, I get clean. When I wash myself with His Holy Word, I get clean.
Amen.
But I must apply it. And he's willing to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God for that. God knows we're going to fall. Psalm 37, verse number 24 says, though he fall. Doesn't say if he falls, in case he falls, might be a time he falls. In case of emergency falls, it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So God knows we're going to fall. He ain't looking to keep us down. No, he wants to pick us up, set us back up. He wants to forgive us. He wants to restore us. He wants to bring us back into full fellowship. And not just fellowship with him, but with everyone around us, with our family.
Yeah.
So fifthly and lastly here, it is a touch of fellowship that he gives. Verse number 26, and he sent him away to his house. The word house there means family. I can go and I can tell the lost world all I want to about the service tonight, about that wonderful sermon that Brother Brett brought, about the service, the series the pastor's been bringing there to us in Joshua, and they'll just, okay. It means absolutely nothing to them. But then I can come in here and I can tell each one of you who knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and it means something. We have fellowship that way. We talk to one another. Now, there are people out in this world who I can easily talk to, and we can talk sports. I'm nowhere near in Brother Brett's league. But we can talk. But I can come in here with Brother Eddie and I can talk to him about God's Word and we can fellowship. We can have that joint communication there because of our Heavenly Father. Because He has given us a touch of fellowship. We can talk about the Bible. We can do what needs to be done. This man can go home and he can share with his family exactly what the Lord had done for him that day. We said he was from the town of Bethsaida there. The house of fish. These unbelievers. Who would have gone out of their way saying, he could see all along. He was just playing us for a bunch of fools. It was a freak accident that caused his blindness. And now it's a freak accident that he's able to see again. He healed. Big deal. But to his family, who knew he was blind, who knew how he'd become blind. You say, preacher, what do you mean become blind? Bible says that he was restored. The Bible tells us, I see men as trees. Well, how did he know what a man looked like? How did he know what a tree looked like? Unless he'd been able to see before, Brother Brett. At some point, he lost the sight. At some point in human history, we lost the ability to see God face to face thanks to Adam there when he committed spiritual suicide. Now the Bible tells us that they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. But the Bible goes on to say that one day this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. That this sin is going to put on sinlessness. I'm going to get to see my Father face to face one day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have all the fellowship with Him I want. I might even give Him a great big sloppy kiss. Praise God. Why? Because I've got a touch of fellowship.
Yes, yes.
And I'm waiting for that day when I get that great touch of fellowship. When Jesus steps out on a cloud of glory and we all get called up to be with Him forever in the air. I have one question for you this evening as Pastor comes with a song of invitation. It's a simple one. Could you use another touch from the Master? Yes. If so, the altars are always open. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Father.